Good afternoon and happy early Monday night to you. This is indeed the Shukri Wright Show on 91.5 FM WMFO in Medford, Tuscarawas Farm Radio, streaming nationwide on the TuneIn Radio app and globally on WMFO.org. Wherever you may be, however you may be listening, thank you for making this program part of your afternoon. We're here live every Monday from 5 p.m. to 7 p.m. on 91.5 FM WMFO, and as well as the TuneIn Radio app. You can listen to every edition of the Shukri Wright Show on 91.5 FM WMFO on demand on iHeartRadio, as well as the Odyssey app and wherever you get the Shukri Wright's podcast. We got a loaded program as we are here live until 7 o'clock. You can call in at 855-915-WMFO, 855-915-9636. Opening thoughts. For those of you who have been listening to the program for a couple of years, know that this is something that I usually do at the beginning of each program, by and large part. There are programs where I didn't lead off with opening thoughts, but instead, what I did was just go straight into the topic that I want to talk about. But opening thoughts is really appropriate for this particular segment because this topic in which I'm about to talk about is something that I know for a lot of people out there, it hits home. It hits home big time in many ways more than imaginable. In fact, I'm going to talk about a particular tragic story that happened over the summer. As many of you may remember, former NHL player, former Boston Bruin, Jimmy Hayes, he also played for the Blackhawks and as well as for the New Jersey Devils as well. He passed away in August. At the time, we didn't know what was the exact cause of death. Now, we have an exact cause of death. And unfortunately, according to the medical examiner, Jimmy Hayes was intoxicated to both fentanyl and as well as there was one other thing, and as well as cocaine. So according to the NBC News article that was published 2 hours ago, this is what it said. This is by David K. Lee. Former NHL journeyman Jimmy Hayes, who won a national championship with Boston College, died with fentanyl and cocaine in his system, authorities said on Sunday. The medical examiner listed his cause of death as acute intoxication due to the combined effects of fentanyl and cocaine, according to a spokesman for the Massachusetts Executive Office of Public Safety and Security. Hayes was 31 when he was found dead on August 23rd at his home in Milton, Massachusetts. There's a lot that I want to unpack here. And this is a very sensitive topic for a lot of people. And I understand that, and I'm very much well aware of that. But let's take it one layer at a time. And let's talk about addiction. Because far too many times, we as people don't understand that addiction is a disease. It's a disease. I myself have never been afflicted with addiction. So I'm not going to sit here and pretend that I'm speaking from experience. However, I have, in fact, lost a high school friend of mine to addiction back in 2016. So I actually know and understand the pain that comes with losing someone that you knew to addiction. There are people out there in the days after his death speculating as to how did he die? How did he die? What happened? And my response each and every single time was, show some respect to the people who just lost a loved one. We don't know. When they are ready, they're going to tell us. And yesterday, Jimmy Hayes' father and his family told the Boston Globe what caused Jimmy Hayes' death. And this quote is so powerful. From the article that's on NBCNews.com, that if you have any sort of heart, if you have any sort of soul, that it hits you differently. Hayes, 66 years old, told the Boston Globe that he approached his son after noticing a change in his behavior. The younger Hayes, who had struggled with painkillers as a player, later revealed he started taking pills again due to an injury and never stopped, according to the newspaper. Hayes, the father, said, quote, "I am an addict myself," his dad said. "I am sober a long, long time, but I know how powerful this stuff is. I was in shock when it happened, but then I started putting stuff together in my head," unquote. This is how he died. But it'd be easy to just talk about the issue itself without talking about the cause. The problem is, we don't talk about the root of the issue. In this case, the root of the issue is painkillers that he was prescribed by team doctors during his playing days to deal with the pain. I'm going to read you that part again. The younger Hayes, who had struggled with painkillers as a player, later revealed that he started taking pills again due to an injury and never stopped. There has to be a level of accountability here by the team doctors. Number one, the doctors are aware of which drugs can potentially be addicting. And that too many times, whether it comes to the eye of the public knowledge or to the public conscientiousness, that athletes, this is not just only a hockey issue, by the way, ladies and gentlemen. This is not only a hockey issue. This is a professional sports issue, even college. This is an issue in which that we are seeing athletes get addicted to these painkillers and medication in order to deal with the pain in which that they are dealing with. And oftentimes, these individuals, these people that are also human beings, are not able to get off of those pills. So what does this do? It leads to a vicious cycle. It leads to a cycle in which that they keep going back. They keep buying these pills. They keep taking these pills. So when they run out, they keep going back to the drugstore, wherever they get the prescriptions from, and buy some more. It's a vicious cycle in which that it perpetuates big pharma, if you will. It perpetuates. They're going to keep coming back for more. That's how we're going to get them addicted. I'm not saying that this is the case every time, but this happens more times, more than we're willing to even acknowledge. And that's the issue. And I give his widow a tremendous amount of credit here. Because one of the things that she said was that, "I hope that this story will help save lives." And I certainly hope so, because for all of you that are listening, locally, and even nationwide, you know and understand that especially in Massachusetts, where there's an opioid, problem. And I'm sorry that my throat, my voice is starting to crack here. You know that addiction is a problem. There's a reason why in Boston, there's a stretch in Boston. For those of you that live in Boston, greater Boston, you know exactly what I'm talking about. There's a stretch in Boston called Methadone Mile. There's a stretch in Boston called Methadone Mile where you are literally seeing addicts in the street, needles, or whatever drugs that they're using. And you're seeing this. You can go there right now, and it's a very, very sad sight. And I bring that up because addiction does not care. Addiction does not discriminate against anybody. It doesn't matter what race, what class, how much money you got. It doesn't care. And unfortunately for the Hayes family, they now have to deal with the fact that Jimmy Hayes is not going to ever come back. Their kids are going to grow up without their father. And the issue that I have is the doctors who prescribed them these painkillers. You don't study X amount of years in medical school and don't know what is potentially addicting. And if I'm speaking on something that, in which that, if I make a mistake on, please call into the program at 855-915-WMFO, 855-915-9636. It is something that we have to talk about. It's something that it hits deeply. It hits deeply because having lost a friend to addiction is something that it hits me and it's very profound. And it makes me think about the people that knew Jimmy Hayes in regards to his career and his friends and his family, the people that loved him and knew him quite well. It's about having these conversations in which that we can sit down and talk about addiction. There are many people, millions, who know someone who's battling addiction right now. This isn't as simple as, hey, just stop taking drugs or you'll be fine. There's a reason why there are rehab facilities that are around. Hayes himself was going to the facility to rehab to get off of these drugs that he'd been taking. And it truly is a shame that Jimmy Hayes, a man who was so loved and well-renowned in the hockey community, not just only here in Massachusetts and New England, but across the NHL, who died with fentanyl and cocaine in the system. It's a heartbreaking story, and there's really no other way to really put it. No matter how you try to slice and dice it, ladies and gentlemen, there's no other way to explain the pain and there's just the flat-out sadness that comes from such a tragic loss. I mean, where do you begin? I don't know if you could find or you know where exactly to begin. Because even then, I don't think the answer is really as simple as it may seem. But the NHL really has to do a better job when it comes to dealing with these medical teams on these teams and these doctors. When you talk about What are the doctors giving to these players? Because it is absolutely maddening in every sense that these doctors are giving the players these medication, these prescription pills, knowing that they have an ill side effect. And that ill side effect is addiction. Robin Leonard, has been very outspoken about this in recent memory. This is also the same hockey player. He's a goaltender currently for the Las Vegas Golden Knights, in which he's talked about addiction. He's talked about coming out, talking about how he battles a mental illness, which inspired conversation within the hockey community about this problem. Most recently, you know about the stories about Jonathan Drouin and Carey Price of the Montreal Canadiens taking leave of absence to deal with mental health and so forth. But now, what you are having and what you're seeing is someone who's bringing light to this issue in Robin Leonard. Robin Leonard is someone who is doing outstanding work, and I don't think the NHL should continue to turn a blind eye. They shouldn't. Because here's the issue, ladies and gentlemen. The issue is, now what do you do? Let me start out by saying this. If you know someone that's dealing with addiction right now, if they want help, help them. And I say that because you can't help someone that does not want to be helped. All you can do is steer them in the right direction. But I will also say in conclusion that I hope that the NHL sees and realizes that there is a lot of work to be done to correct a growing problem within the NHL in terms of how doctors are treating injuries and players to deal with these injuries, to be able to deal with the pain that they're going through. Because for those who follow hockey, we all know, and I mean we all know what and how physical the pain is and how physical the game is. Coming up next, we're going to talk some Patriots. We're going to look back on yesterday's game against the Dallas Cowboys. That and much more, as you can call in at 855-915-WMFO, 855-915-9636. This is Shukri Wright. You are listening to the 91.5 FM WMFO in Medford, Touch Reform Radio.
see the crystal raindrops fall, and the beauty of it all is when the sun comes shining through to make those rainbows in my mind. When I think of you sometime, and I want to spend some time with you, just the two of us. We can make it if we try. We look for love, no time for tears. Wasted water's all that is, and it don't make no flowers grow. Good things might come to those who wait, but not for those who wait too late. We gotta go for all we know. Just the two of us. We can make it if we try. Just the two of us.
Just the two of us. We can make it if we try. Just the two of us.
Welcome back to the Shukri Wright Show on 91.5 FM WMFO and Medford Touch Reform Radio. Pardon me. Streaming nationwide on the TuneIn Radio app and globally on WMFO.org. Glad you're able to tune into the program today. Hope you are having a blast so far. That was a pretty powerful segment there, where we began the show talking about Jimmy Hayes and his cause of death and why his death should be sparking more conversation across the NHL and across sports, really, for the fact of the matter, both collegiate and pro, about the dangers of these painkillers, and that something has to be done about these doctors who are prescribing these painkillers and knowing how addicting they can be. Feel free, if you want to call in, you can. The phone lines are open at 855-915-WMFO, 855-915-9636. Appreciate those of you who are listening via the radio and as well as the mobile stream as well on TuneIn Radio up live right now, and appreciate those who will be listening on demand later on. Now, I want to have the opportunity to turn the page and talk some Patriots football, as the Patriots, as they are currently constructed, they are sitting at 2-4 right now after falling to the Dallas Cowboys yesterday, 35-29 in overtime. I mean, what a game. During this segment, I'm just going to give you my overall thoughts and takes on the game. And during the next segment after, we're going to, there's a little bit of an early tease. We're going to, you know, get a little bit deeper into the game itself. And there's something that I noticed in yesterday's game that it's time to actually have a conversation about. So as far as the game is concerned, I thought that the Patriots yesterday continued to show me exactly why I just don't believe that this team is a playoff team this season. I don't. Number one, the fact that they are now 0-4 for the first time since 1993. That was Drew Bledsoe's first year as a starting quarterback of the New England Patriots is just stunning. Stunning is the right word. When you look back at three of those losses, including yesterday, 2 weeks ago against Tampa Bay, and in week one against the Miami Dolphins, those three of the four losses at home were games that you could have and should have won. There's no ifs, ands, or buts about it. But as far as yesterday's game is concerned, I am frustrated. Like, genuinely frustrated. And the reason why I'm frustrated right now is because I'm past the point of moral victories. They were right there. They were close. Just close. I don't care for that. I don't care for how close they were. What is that supposed to do in the grand scheme of things, huh? I mean, have we forgotten that the NFL is a league in which that you're judged upon wins and losses? Have we completely gotten away from that because we have a rookie quarterback under center? You know, he's hanging in there, chump. Hang in there, boys. You're doing just fine. No, they're not doing just fine. Especially when your secondary did not play all that well yesterday. They really didn't. They did not play well at all yesterday. And there were a couple of instances where I could not believe exactly what I was watching. First instance, can we talk about that touchdown pass that won the game in overtime? 35-yard touchdown pass from Prescott to CeeDee Lamb? Because that pass, oh my gosh. This was a classic example of your secondary not having an absolute freaking clue as to what they're doing on the football field. Can we be very brutally honest here for a moment? Because if there's one thing that I am genuinely becoming very frustrated by, is the notion that perhaps the Patriots They are now in the battle for moral victories. Is that so? And you want to know something that also that should bother you? I looked this up, actually, and I heard this yesterday. When the Patriots are leading by halftime, guess what their record is under Bill Belichick? 109-2. Look it up. Before yesterday's game, they were 109-2. And at halftime yesterday, the Patriots were leading 14-10. 14-10. Oh, well, they should have this game under wraps, right? I mean, after all, and for those who follow me on Twitter, and thanks to the thousands of people who follow me on Twitter, by the way, I tweeted out that the Cowboys were literally giving the Patriots the game on a platter. No. Here, you hold this. You take it. We want to give you this as an early Thanksgiving gift. Thank you. Yes, Thanksgiving is a month away, so it's appropriate that I start making Thanksgiving references. You're welcome. Oh, no. It's okay. Hey, guys. Hey, Mac Jones. Hey, to your offense. Here you go. The Cowboys' defense was no better yesterday at all. But if we're going to be really honest about something here, the Patriots had no business being in the position that they're in. They had no business not getting off the field at 3rd-and-25. Like, are you kidding me? See, this is a case and an example of a defense that's really not very good at all. I mean, if there is something that does remind me of this particular instance where the Patriots gave up the big play on 3rd-and-25 to the Dallas Cowboys, an offense that is much improved, and oh, I wonder why, because they have their MVP candidate Dak Prescott back on the center and healthy at that, despite injuring his calf yesterday. The defense can't get off the field when they needed to get off the field. How do you feel about this team at this point? I don't feel good about this team. Yeah, they're 2-4, but there are some deeper things that I saw in yesterday's game that just didn't sit well with me. Number one, can we stop turning over the football, please? Pretty please. Is that too much to ask for? Stop turning over the football. This team is literally 30th in the league in giveaways. They're the third worst team when it comes to turnovers in the NFL. It seems like in 2021, they have an allergic reaction to holding on to the football. If they sneeze or if they pass gas, here's the football. No, I can't hold on to this no more. You take it, fellas. That's where we're at. And then, oh, by the way, the Patriots had another turnover that led to points for the Cowboys. That's where we're at. I mean, I could sit here and just completely tear apart the Patriots defense, but oh no. The offense, they don't get off scotch easy. Oh no, not even close. The run game, oh Lord have mercy. Lord have mercy. Oh Lord, help me. They can't run the ball to save their lives. I mean, should I really be kind on the air, or should I really be mean and harsh? So this is what I'm going to do. I'm going to be mean. I'm going to be harsh. Because guess what? I'm sick and tired of watching the same garbage week in and week out. And I talked about this last week. Some of the things that they got away with last week in Houston against the Texans, they were not going to be able to get away with when they play a better opponent in the Dallas Cowboys. And I was right. Like, case in point, red zone offense, first half, they seem to have done a really good job scoring those two touchdowns in the first quarter. But then after that, nothing for two quarters. Nothing. And I'm beginning to wonder, are the Patriots that poorly constructed on the roster where they cannot produce in the red zone, or is the play calling the blame? If you got thoughts or anything you want to add to this conversation, call in at 855-915-WMFO. 855-915-9636. I'm here with you live until 7 o'clock. But there is something that I do wonder. And I do. There's another thing that I will bring to the forefront right here, right now. I get it. Damian Harris, he ran for 101 yards. Congratulations. Congratulations, Damian Harris. You did your job. But you keep turning over the ball. And I'm not saying you as in Damian Harris. I mean the offense. That's the point that I'm making. And I gotta ask Patriots fans this question. If you look at this team right now, how confident are you that this is a playoff team that you're looking at? Truthfully, I don't want to hear the pom-pom answer, oh my God, everything's going to be okay, and Bill, I trust. I don't want to hear that. What I want to hear is the truth. Do you think that this is a playoff team that we're looking at right now through the first 6 weeks of the regular season? My answer to that is no. For me, personally, no. I mean, goodness grief. But hey, I'm supposed to feel good about Ramondre Stevenson, the one touchdown run he had. He had five carries for 23 yards. Damian Harris, I was really impressed with. But again, I was not overly impressed with the run game yesterday. I just wasn't. I feel like there were times in which that they could have done a better job. But with that being said, here are some of the issues that I've had with the Patriots offense for quite some time now. To me, it just seems like they are afraid. They are too afraid to be aggressive. And it's beginning to tick me off. It's beginning to tick me off because you look across the league, you look at other quarterback head coach duos, I feel that even though the Patriots have a rookie quarterback right now, they don't have that issue. You should be getting a lot more out of Nelson Aguilar, but for God's sakes, he seems to have hands that are made out of cement. Like, catch the damn ball. Is that much to ask for? You were targeted three times. You had one catch. Are you kidding me? I'll give Jacoby Myers this credit. He played well. He had a touchdown reception that was called back because of the offense, because of an offensive penalty. I mean, there's a lot to be really frustrated about when it comes to this New England Patriots team, and I'm there. I'm all the way there at this point. They're 2-4. Some of you would even say the Patriots should be 4-2 right now. But they're not. And this is where they are. This is exactly where they are. And here's the reality. The reality is, ladies and gentlemen, is that I do wholeheartedly think and believe that the Patriots do have some serious questions to ask and answer, both ask and answer, especially when you begin to look at the bigger picture and as well as begin to micromanage or look at the team under a microscopic view. I'm at a loss of words. like this team should be a lot better than what they are. But we're at a point now where this team is at a place where you say, hey, they should be, could be, would be, but is this team good enough to make a run to finally put it all together? I'm really at a very low point in terms of my belief with this team. And I love this team, but the reality is this. I look at it from a very realistic standpoint, not from a homeristic standpoint. If you feel differently, call into the program at 855-915-9636. Coming up next, we're going to have a nice little talk. Because I saw something yesterday that really did not sit well with me at all. I'm going to tell you exactly what it was. Coming up next, right here on the Shukri Wright Show on 91.5 FM WMFO in Medford. Tusk Free Farm Radio, streaming nationwide on the TuneIn Radio app and globally on WMFO.org.
Darling, darling, I'll turn the lights back on now. Watching, watching as the credits all roll down. And crying, crying, you know we're playing to a full house. House. No heroes, villains, one to blame. While wilted roses fill the stage. And the thrill is gone. Our debut was a masterpiece, but in the end for you and me, hold this show, it can't go on. We used to have it all, but now's our curtain call, so hold for the applause, oh, 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 oh. And wave out to the crowd, and take our final bow, oh, it's our time to go, but at least we still. We stole the show. At least we stole the show. So now we're crying, crying. So let the velvet roll down, down. No heroes, villains, one to blame. While wilted roses fill the stage. And the thrill is gone. Our debut was a masterpiece. Our lines we read so perfectly. But the show, it can't go on. We used to have it all, but now's our curtain call. So hold for the applause, oh, 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 oh. And wave out to the crowd, and take our final bow. Oh, it's our time to go, but at least we stole the show. At least we stole the show. Ooh, at least we stole the show.
And you will undoubtedly hear it many more times as the days go by. Now, just in case you're hazy on exactly what it means, let me give you a rough idea. It means that the cost of your clothes and food has gone up to a point where the family budget has become somewhat strained. Well, that's one of those things. And you can't be expected to increase the family income. But there are some things you can do to help. For instance, take better care of your clothes. When you come home from school, change into old clothes before you go out to play. Take care of your health, because doctors and medicines are expensive. Eat well, but don't waste. Take your full share, but eat all you take. Try not to ask mother and dad to buy you things you don't actually need. Make the best and the most of what you've got. Try to be more than usually careful of your school equipment, such as paper, pencils, and so forth. Make them last and go as far as you possibly can. Remember that all members of a family must pull together at a time like this. So do your share.
It's beautiful, it's bittersweet, you're like a broken home to me. I take a shot of memories in black, I like an empty street. I fill my days with the way you walk and fill my nights with broken dreams. I make up lies inside my head like one day you'll come back to me. Now I'm not holding on, not holding on, I'm just depressed that you're gone. Not holding on, not holding on. Beautiful mistake.
Situation's beneficial, doing something different got me looking stupid. The only way I'm coming back to you is if you're dreaming. Lose it, prove it. If you made a promise, then keep it. Why you wanna lie and then get mad? I don't believe it. But really, I was doing just fine without you. Looking fine, sipping wine, dancing no club couches. Baby, why you wanna lose me like you don't need me? Like I don't block you and you still try to reach me. How you figure out how to call me from the TV? You running out of chances and this time I mean it.
Yeah, bet you miss my love all in your bed. Now you're stressing, I'm pulling your hair. Smelling your pillows and wishing I was there. Sliding down the shower wall, look at this. I know it's hard to let go, I'm the best. Best you ever had and best you gon' get. And if we break up, I don't wanna be friends. You're toxic.
Beautiful mistakes.
Yeah. Hey, this is Scruffy Wallace, the Dropkick Murphys, and you're listening to WMFO Medford.
Welcome to the Shook Me Right Show on 91.5 FM, WMFO, and Medford Touch Free Farm Radio, streaming nationwide on the TuneIn Radio app and globally on WMFO.org. We are now approaching our number two of the program as we are sitting currently at 5:57 p.m. Eastern Time, Boston Time, as we are knocking on the doorsteps of Monday night. It's a big night ahead for the city of Boston. Game 3 of the American League Championship Series is coming up later tonight, 8 p.m. Eastern Time on FS1, and it's a big one. They were able to tie up the series at one apiece, and the series shifts here to Fenway in Boston for game number 3. We're going to talk about that a little later on in this hour, so don't tune that dial. I am going to be talking Red Sox. And if you got any thoughts about the Patriots, we talked about the Patriots and Cowboys game yesterday. You can call in 855-915-WMFO. 855-915-9636 is the number to call in. Now let's talk about something that I saw yesterday that really didn't sit well with me at all. Now, we've noticed a lot when it comes to Mac Jones that he is particularly very hard on himself. I like that. I actually do. And I say that because I like a guy, my quarterback, who is going to drive himself to be the best quarterback possible, but not to a point where it is going to be a detriment. I don't want that. No. But what I do want is someone who is not afraid to hold himself accountable, and he has that belief that he can become the best quarterback possible. Now, a lot has been made about the Patriots, and as well as, you know, it's play calling and Josh McDaniels and Mac Jones, and what we're seeing now is